wonderful work that you have done and that you continue to do. Lord, I just pray that this morning you'll lead and guide my thoughts and help me to speak according to your will, that all together we as your body could be edified and that you would receive honor and glory through that. Pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, there's a number of things that we could talk of when we talk about this thought here. There's a few books that deal with it a fair bit. And I wouldn't have time to read all of it. And so I will mostly be reading out of Ephesians today, although I could probably preach the same message reading out of Corinthians, even Romans perhaps, maybe even Colossians. And I think maybe I'll touch on some verses in those other books as well to just kind of highlight what I want to speak on today. And just to even give a little bit of a background of where this thought came from. Now, I've been thinking about this for some time already, but I think a lot of this came a lot clearer to me again as we've recently traveled and we've met many different people and I've spoken to many different people. And through that, we see again and again, I think, exactly the thought that Erwin was sharing there, that the body of Christ is divided. We make divisions. We make divisions based on many different things. And I don't think that that's the will of God. We need to deal with sin. Sin is not part of the Christian body, and it needs to be dealt with whenever it occurs there. But I think many times we divide based on other things than actual sin. We divide based on doctrine that one person understands different than I do. And many times it is not necessarily that one is completely right or the other is completely right. But we find reason to divide. And so here in Ephesians, well, maybe I'll first read just the first couple of verses in Corinthians just to kind of start the thought altogether. It says, in the first few verses of Corinthians says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So when we think here now, when Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, which church did he write to? Was there many? What did he write to, the Pentecostal church? Or did he write to the Mennonite church? Or did he write to the Baptist church? Which church did he write to? He wrote to the church. And I think it says here, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, so that's the importance there, they are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. See, I don't think we can so easily or should so easily be able to say that church or that church. But it's the church if they are sanctified by Jesus Christ, I think. Now, so saying that, it's a church that is sanctified, but it's not, he didn't give options there. He didn't say that you are, he says to the church, but it's because it's the people in that area. And they are part of the same blessings as all the other ones, as he says right there. To them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's people that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we call upon His name, if we believe Him, if they believe Him, we're part of the same body. And I think that's something that, again, as we travel, I see it more, but I'm thinking and just meditating on how it is around here, I think it's the same thing. So, we as a small group here, we call ourselves Church at Niagara. But do we represent the whole church at the whole church of Niagara? That's actually a question. Do we or do we not? I think that's something that we need to actually think about. Can we acknowledge that there's other Christians in Niagara? If there is, then we do not represent the whole church of Niagara. And so we are Church at Niagara, but I think it's important for us to acknowledge that we're not presenting the whole body of Christ, the whole church of Niagara here in this area. And so I think it's also then very important for us to actually, as I'll hope to go in more later on, to love the brethren. And how exactly all of that works. Well, we're a small group here, and we try to practice the love of Christ among the brethren. And that is very important. I believe it's very good and right. But I think oftentimes we do that here on Sunday. Sometimes we have interactions on other days. But often we also come across other Christians throughout the week. And are we doing the same to the brethren? Is it just us here that he's talking about when we are supposed to love the brethren? We are brethren in Christ, but we have more brothers. And how are they then, again, the same thought that Irwin was speaking? Well, I wouldn't sit with them. I wouldn't fellowship with them. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to stop this gathering here and go and gather with other people, but altogether, how do we see other Christians, I think? And see, and there's another thought that I want to bring back after I've read some here. Here in Ephesians, Paul says, he starts off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, into the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's speaking to that group of believers there. And I'll skip a lot. In some ways it would be nice to just read the first several chapters here, but I'll skip over to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And then, skipping some verses again, and I think here I'll probably start reading a bigger portion, skipping to verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and that, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. I'll just continue here now, and I might skip some verses again, but starting in verse 11, I want to continue reading again. So, chapter 2. And you hath He quickened whom were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the uncircumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from that covenant, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ, by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that in that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Going into chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, in brackets, I'll skip that for now, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Can anyone tell me what that mystery is? Johnny.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ of you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you.
Okay. If we read here now, continue reading. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That the other one is also a mystery that you spoke of there, but I think this mystery that he's speaking of right here now, this was something that was not known to the people. That it was hidden. It was the Gentiles didn't know it. That when all these prophets that came through the Israelites, that they were prophesying of a time when they would also have a chance to be saved. And the Israelites also didn't seem to know that. Even though there were prophets that were prophesying it in different ways, but often it seemed like it was even hidden from them. But this is what he's talking about here is, so if we read again, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery. And then he goes on to explain a little bit about the mystery here. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he's just putting this in there. I've already wrote something to you, and so you understand that I have this knowledge from Christ. I understand this mystery. And then he goes on to say what that mystery is, which in other ages, what he says here, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working in his power. And so that was a mystery. Now, where we grew up, the religion that most of us were most familiar with, even though we weren't necessarily part of it per se, we weren't accepted as a member in there yet, we were just in the families that were part of this religion, many of us. But in the religion where we grew up, we were I don't know if it was ever directly said that we were Jews, but we were taught in a way where we are the people of God as the Jews are in the Old Testament, and everyone else is the world. In other words, the Gentiles. And so, in many ways, our thinking today, our thought, we have to, I think, deal with it from that perspective. That we were brought up in a way where there's Jews and Gentiles. We're the Jews, everyone else is Gentile. Now I think we have been delivered from that, most of us, I think, but I wonder how often we still have a little bit of that in us, where we are the Jews, they are the Gentiles. We should not fellowship with them. Sure, they can come here and accept the standards that we have, and then we'll accept them as a brother. But actually, just acknowledging that there's someone out there, there's many out there that love the Lord. They're part of the same body. It's not them and us. It's not that body and this body. See, I think the way we often today think of the body of Christ, and I can't exactly draw it here. And there's just a bunch of these little bodies. And it's like one head, but a bunch of bodies. Christ has one body, the church. And all they that are sanctified are part of that same body. And that's something that Paul here in Ephesians and Corinthians, and I think in Colossians and Romans, was trying to... He understood that mystery. It had been revealed to him, and he was trying to bring that to the people. It's not us and them. It's not Gentiles and Jews. But he's made out of twine, one new body. And what did he even do? And it's just amazing to me. Having abolished in the flesh, in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He broke that down. That was very important for the Jewish system. It was important. God actually gave that to them. But he broke that down, for to make in himself of twine one new man, so making peace. With that there, my understanding is actually that it wouldn't have been possible to make one body if that law of ordinances of commands would have continued. He demolished it. He abolished it. And so that he could make of twine one new man in Christ Jesus, so that he could have a body. Now we sang a number of songs today, and it was, again, I was really blessed by that. But we sang that we love Jesus and we want to love him more and different things like that. What part of Jesus? The head or the body as well? See, in a sense, Christ, the head with the body, Jesus Christ. And so it says that we cannot love God if we don't love our brethren. And I think if we put it in a picture like this, it can, in my mind, it could make sense. Do I love Jesus? What part of Jesus do I love? If the brothers, if the church is his body, do I still love him? Or do I only love the head? So I think it is very important for us to not be racist. I guess, very flat out. And so, we see a lot of this in colonies, but at the same time, I was just being honest with myself again, and I have some of that in myself, and I need to get rid of it. Where it's us and them. Before I go on reading here, I've spoken with many people in the last 4 weeks from different groups of people. And I found out that there's many believers in different groups of people. They don't all look like us. Some look more as what we know worldly, and some look more as what we know conservative, way more conservative than us. But I found that there's brothers among those different groups that love the Lord and they hate sin and they preach against sin. See, I think too often we have the idea that someone that looks in our mind, as we again have pictured, made us look, they look more worldly, they must be okay with sin. They accept sin. They accept all these different things. But there were brothers that I spoke with that before I mentioned anything about sin, they made it very clear that if I think that sin is okay, it's not. So it's not, we can't actually divide like that. Brothers that are sanctified in the Lord, who have the Spirit of God, they don't like sin, whether they look like us or not. There are many false people out there as well. There are some that look very good and they're okay with sin. And there are some that look really bad and yeah, they just enjoy sin. But the different people groups that I have spoken with in the last while, they range from I don't even remember the man. Do any of you remember what church the guy that was at the airport said he, our children or Lisa? I don't remember, but it was it's a church here in, I think, Waterdown. But he approached us and was not shy in an airport where there's lots of people. Like, it wasn't a quiet conversation, but he enjoyed talking about the Lord. He loved it. I sat with an old colony preacher in Mexico for over an hour, I think it was, and we had amazing fellowship. And we talked about things that I never thought were possible to talk with them about. And I was surprised to find out what he believed about some of these things. Now, we could have gone there and just said, well, that's one of those Pharisees. But see, often what it takes is actually finding out if they're a brother and then talking with them. Find out what they believe. I talked with one that was Catholic, but he wasn't fully Catholic anymore. He didn't know for sure, but his thoughts were still very much in the Catholic thinking. He actually, through some interaction that we had, he praised God for the interaction that we had there. And I asked him, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And this was in Spanish. And I can't nearly talk enough Spanish to actually share everything with them that I want. But yes, he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I told him, we're brothers and we're saints. You're a saint. And I knew that they don't really understand that. And that was, again, it was something that he couldn't understand at this point. He said, maybe in the future I could be a saint. But I said, no, the Bible says that we're saints now. And I was able to have fellowship with a person like that. He doesn't understand everything I understand, but that doesn't mean he's not a brother. So when we read about loving the brothers, do I need to love that man or not? I believe I do. There were also many others that we talked with. But one individual, several people from here know, they practice a few things different than we do. But again, we had supper together with them, and that whole evening we didn't leave the table because our conversation was on matters of the Bible. And just greatly blessed with the fellowship that we had there. They practice a few things different than we do. And we were able to talk about those even. And we don't didn't come to a complete agreement with our understanding on those things, but he made it very clear to me. He said, I'm not practicing it this way because I'm careless. I have the fear of God, and I want to do what's right, and this is what I understand. That's why I'm practicing it this way. And so, we could write him off as someone, but no, I couldn't do that because he's a brother. He's part of that same body. It's not a different body. It's not one head and a bunch of different bodies. As we go on here reading, so this was a mystery revealed to Paul back then through a revelation. And it was hard for the people at that time to accept. Some embraced it, but many had a very hard time with it. And there's a lot of writing about the Jews and Gentiles having to work together. But it was a struggle. And it can be for us as well. But I think one thing that we need to get rid of is that mentality. Where we were brought up is that we are the people of God and they are the world. If they love the Lord, they are part of that same body. And as much as we can, often there's language barriers or whatever, and then we cannot communicate with them in that way. But we can communicate with them in other ways. But going on here now, so just again, so he has said that a mystery was revealed to him. So verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, and then verse 5, which in other ages was not made known, and which is often in this age again forgotten, I would say, unto the sons of man, it was made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the grace. In continuing now, unto me who am least, so what it was made known unto him, revealed unto him, unto me who am least than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles that the unsearchable riches of Christ. And again, a big part of this unsearchable riches of Christ is, again, he's talking about how he brought everything together, how he made one body. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And if we don't practice love to the brethren, then we're in some ways hindering that display of God to the principalities and powers. I believe verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So the whole family is named after the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven and earth. It's not Mennonite, it's not, well, all these different names, but it's named after the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So many of these things that we so often read, like even some of these things that he is able to do so much far above and beyond what we can ask or think, it has to do with putting everyone into one body. We often speak of it, but it's all written in the same context here. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. All of this has to do, in this context here, he's speaking about putting everyone, Jews and Gentiles, into the same body. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So now, if we think about this, and then later again in chapter 4, verse 4 there, he says, there is one body and one Spirit. And so, if we think about all of this, then, in a sense, so we can talk about a church that is somewhere in a certain area, but not as a different people that, like, we shouldn't associate with them, because they're not of us. If it's a church of Jesus Christ, if they're sanctified and walk in the light, then we're all one. We're the same body. It was a mystery back then, and I think many groups of people have made it a mystery again today, that God has one body, or Jesus Christ has one body. We talk about it often as many different bodies. And I don't even know if necessarily, if we use a term like this body of believers, that we exclude it from the global church. But and I don't think it's necessarily wrong to use it that way, as long as in our mind we understand that it's not us in them. It's not we, the Jews, and they, the Gentiles. It is Christians versus unbelievers. They that believe versus they that don't believe. That's where it distinguishes. That's the difference. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you're one with me, one with Christ. Do you not believe? Then you're not. See, we can have it where even in a small group like this. Now, I just want to use us as an example. I'm not saying that it's necessarily here. But we can have it in a group like this where we can have, let's say, half believers and half unbelievers. But it's, we are the children of God. And those other Christians out there, they are the Gentiles. They're the heathen. That thought is in so many groups. It's in, especially in the colonies, you see it so much. That thought, where there might only be 5 Christians among 100, but this is us, and we should not touch them outside. And so, okay, we're running out of time here again, but just reading a couple of things out of 1 Corinthians. Now, I think it's very helpful actually to read all of these letters where Paul kind of addresses the same issue, the same idea, kind of one and then the other and then the other all together like that, and just read through the chapters. But 1 Corinthians, the first few chapters actually deals with that same thing. It is in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes on to say that, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I think I often have, or like I've misunderstood this. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not so much to do with, as so many groups again have made it to be, everyone looks exactly the same and everyone says amen in the exact same tone, exact same pitch and everything, and like you all speak the same thing. It's not that, but it's, for he hath been declared, for it says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by the them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And what are these contentions? Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. I am of Christ, I am very holy. I am too good for those that are of Cephas' group. I'm too good for those that are of Apollos. Paul is a pretty good preacher, but Apollos? No, I'm part of a better group than they. In verse 13, he asks, is Christ divided? And so if we ask that question, and if we have that question in our mind, is Christ divided? Can we then say of a certain group of Christians, you're not my brothers? Now, as in any situation among ourselves here, we need to question things. When, if someone would come in here drunk today, of course we would question that, but not, I think not even a lot of questioning, but we would really deal with that. And so in any of these other groups, if there's sin, the sin needs to be dealt with. But we cannot just write them off as, no, we're not part of you. The body of Christ is the believers. And if there's large gatherings somewhere else, whatever name they go under, and if there's a lot of sin in that building, the body of Christ suffers. And in a sense, we suffer. The reputation of Christ suffers. And because of that, there is the world, the ungodly look on, and we cannot have the same effect. The preaching of the gospel can be hindered by that. Not even necessarily by what we do here, but by what another group of believers does somewhere else. And so I think it is very important for us to care about Christians in the whole Niagara region. How is the Christian church doing in Niagara? Is Christ divided? The obvious answer is no. Christ is not divided. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Now here we might be sidetracked by the word Greeks, Jews and Greeks, rather than Jews and Gentiles. But it means the same thing. It's just Corinth was in Greece, and so he's talking there Greeks. If you're at all familiar with the genealogy, geography of that area, Corinth, Athens, Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea, they were all in Greece. And so those, they could have been referred to as Greeks or Gentiles. It's the same thing if he's talking about the unbelievers. But he's talking to them here in a way that they understand it. So it's not no different than calling them Gentiles, really. But one thing that the Greeks really had is they really strived after learning, after being educated, after wisdom. And I think that's why he speaks of it in that way here as well. But, it could go on. But verse 7 here in chapter 2, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is in God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual guideth all things, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of God, of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And even all of this is in the context again of, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now we might think of these many gruesome sins that are going on here when we read this. But this is what he's talking about again. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and the other, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? That's what he's talking about. So many of these things we've spiritualized them in a way where many of these phrases are often spoken of. But what he is actually, the context of what he's speaking of here is division among brethren. Are you not carnal? God made one body. Is Christ divided? God, in Christ Jesus, there's a head and a body. One body. Not many bodies off of that same head. And so, we could go on many different places yet, but I guess just maybe couple verses here in Colossians yet, right in the first chapter. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first fruit from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And in all of these books even, it follows by many other things, but he always makes it very clear as well that sin not. Like, it's not in any way given now that, okay, you're Gentiles. Like in Romans, it talks about what shall we sin now so that grace may abound. Like, there's an often groups of people saying that we're all one and we can sin. We're just like the world. We act like the world and all of those things. Like, that's not at all what he is promoting here either. Like, it's one body in Christ, but it's a sanctified body. But I think really just the point that I wanted to bring out here is that if they're sanctified, then they're not different than us. Even if they have a different color, or even if they're louder than us, even if they dance more than we do, even if they have the gift of speaking in tongues, that doesn't make them different, or that doesn't make them of a separate body. Some of these gifts, it talks about the different gifts that the body has, or that Christ has given to his people. So it's the same body if they have the fear of the Lord, if they love the Lord, if they are in the Lord, if they're born again, if they're a child of God, however we want to say it, if they, and I believe that truly a born again person just does hate sin. And so I think if someone says that sin is okay, then no. Like, that, I think we still have the Spirit, and that's also even a gift, but we need to have the Spirit of discernment to know whether this Spirit is of God or not. Like, it's not just whoever now says we're a church that I'm suggesting that we're all part of the whole thing, but the believers in Jesus Christ, wherever they are our brothers. We are the body of Christ. It's not many bodies. It's not us in them, but it's the body of Christ. Yeah, there would be many other things that I could add to that again, but we'll leave it at that for now. If anyone has questions later, whatever, talk to me.
Amen. Well, again, thank the Lord, bless the Lord.